Our scripture reading is Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here today. It's a beautiful Sabbath day that we can have with our God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. Having God in our presence, the presence also of the Holy Spirit with us to do it. And it's good to see everyone. And good to be up here again. I hope everybody's had a good week, saints. But we take and see what a week it was. The wars, rumors of war. Are we going to have another world war? How many wars before Armageddon? We have storms this week, flooding, destruction in different places. Seems it's a norm now. But then there also, little baby left in a garbage bag. And the week is ending with a chance of winning millions of dollars. One last night, one tonight. And we know that there's people out there pouring dollars and dollars into it, whether they can afford it or not, for that one chance. Some of them thinking even to win both of them. And I forget how many quadrillion chances that is, you know, one in that. And one in even winning one of them. So we know that we can rejoice here on this happy Sabbath afternoon. But yet also, while these things are happening, when it says the universe that we know should not exist, it's in Thursday's paper talking about it. Universe as we know it shouldn't exist. The collaboration involving 1,000 scientists from more than 30 countries aims to answer that question. Are mysterious particles called neutrinos, the research we have heard, is that the reason for it, of that there? But it says that can't exist or shouldn't exist. We know that the earth is made of matter. Our God spoke it, and this universe came into existence. Our God made man from the dust of the ground. Trying to figure if they can put neutrinos in dark matter together to find out the reason why. And scientifically, they've been looking for the ways to find out for ages how this earth evolved or how this first came about. But we're thankful this morning that we know that a loving God made this universe, made this earth, made universes far beyond. We're continuing to develop telescopes that can look farther and farther out into space, finding more and more. There's no ending to it. But we're thankful this morning for that God and that we can rejoice with our God, especially in prayer, that rejoicing that we can have with our communion with our God. So we know that prayer, Christian prayer, is communion with God. Usually by speaking our thought. We also know that this prayer is essential in our Christian growth. So we're going to look at rejoicing this morning on that. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we thank thee for the Sabbath day. We thank thee that we may come into your presence to worship thee, to honor thee, to give glory unto thee and thee alone. We know that we are yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will also be with us, to guide our prayers, taking our words, putting in into heavenly words, presenting to our holy God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Yeah, we know that there are times and different types of prayer. First one that comes to the morning, a time that we can thank God for seeing us through the night. Also ask for guidance for the day, that he will be with us, that the Holy Spirit will be with us, guiding us through the day, leading us where he might. Then there's mealtime, to give thanks for the food that we are about to eat. It only needs to be a short prayer. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out one. Then there's bedtime, when we get ready for bed, to thank the Lord for another day, to ask forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And at worship time, as we are here today, to be praying for each other, to be saying silent prayers while others are praying, listening to that. We will be looking at Matthew 6 mainly today, but other verses I have also to go to. And there's times of trouble. We already had these times of trouble. We usually move past saying prayers to actually praying. Thankful for God that he is able to hear all of us at the same time and work things out for our good. Special occasions, when big decisions need to be made, or you just simply like to pray, as we should pray. When someone asks you to pray for them, pray. Prayer has many things, and one of them is a time of rejoicing, to be rejoicing while we're having communion with our God. And as we look at the precious prayer in Matthew 6, it ends as it begins. Jesus taught us to begin our prayers with praise. We're told to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Now we're called to rejoice in a God who is and holds the power. Praying is about remembering our Father which art in heaven. Praying is about reverence. Hallowed be thy name. Prayer is also about ruling. Thy kingdom come. It's also about resigning. Thy will be done. It's also about requesting. Give us this day our daily bread. And releasing. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it's also about relying. And lead us not into temptation, but lead us from evil. And as I said today, prayer is about rejoicing. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We know that this world is filled with trials, troubles, and problems. And we know that it gives us a comfort that we're serving a God who is worthy of all the praise and the glory that we can give to him. What a privilege and a comfort it is to know that there's someone or something to rejoice about with all the negativity that is in the world today. We can rejoice in his preeminence because he is sovereign. The word sovereign means independent and holding complete power. And we know that our God is independent and that he holds complete power. When we say he is sovereign, he is over and above this world that he created. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 13. Isaiah 43, verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it or turn it aside? And then chapter 46, verse 11. 46:11. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. What a God we have. The Bible is clear that we do serve an all-powerful God, and he is in control of all things. And he wants to be able to control us in a loving way, though. That's why he's given us a choice to choose. When Jesus first taught this prayer, the Caesar that was in charge in Rome literally ruled the world from the British Isles across the Mediterranean all the way to India. He had the power over every man, woman, and child. And yet Jesus said for us to pray, thine is the kingdom. We know this lost, cynical world trying to tell us that God is out of the question. But thankfully, that we know that our God is true. And he is worthy of all the praise and the honor and glory that we can give him. We know for a certainty that he is still on his throne, and the kingdom of this world is his one day. And if you look at Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And what will be revealed to us, and on that day, is a reality for us today, to know that our God is in control. Our God is supreme. Tells us this in Genesis 1:26 through 28. Don't have to turn there, but when man was created and placed in a garden, he was given dominion over this earth. And if you look, turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In the whom of God, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. When Jesus came into this world, he died on a cross, rose from the dead. He redeemed everything that God, that Adam had lost. Really, he'd given away. He paid the price and destroyed Satan's dream of ruling this universe. We know that our God, not Satan, is the supreme ruler of this world now. Even now, Satan is yet to have his way. So we know that our God deserves our worship, our love, our devotion, and allegiance. Therefore, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we acknowledge God's supremacy, and we are subject to him as our sovereign God. We acknowledge him as our King, and we are his servants. I pray that we are ready to serve him at every time that we have. We know that he is above and over everything. We know that we can rejoice in his power that he has alone. His power is enormous. God is sovereign and in control of all things. We are told to rejoice in the fact that he has the power to control all things today as well in this world. We do not serve an anemic God. We serve a God of power and ability, and what ability he has. He can do anything he pleases because he holds all power. He is Almighty God, and we need to acknowledge that. Let's take a look at some of the verses that show the power of God. Genesis 18, and verse 18, 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Psalms chapter 62. Psalms 62, verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is how our universe exists, through the power of our God. And then Matthew 19, in verse 26. 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yes, what an almighty God we have the assurance to enjoy. We know that this earth is coming to an end soon. We need to be prepared. We need to help others be prepared too. Because his power is eternal. We're told that God's power, his glory, are forever. And we can't really understand what forever means. Another of his great attributes is the fact that he is immutable, unchanging, or unable to change. What a God. Once he says something, it's unable to be changed. For I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Yes, our God. His power is the same today as it has ever been. What a confidence we should have in our God, that we can come to him in prayer at any time. Bring anything to him. Talk to him as a friend. our God has ever been and ever will be. And he continues to be after all. He is the I Am, as he told Moses to tell the people of Israel. We can enjoy and rejoice in his personality. He alone deserves glory. We know that man tries to add the glory in all things. Takes the glory in all the inventions of the world. And we know that there are fast coming every day, new inventions. And man tries to take the glory. But without God, where would that be? Where would man be without our God? Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. And verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Yes, we can look up into the sky, especially at night on a clear night, and see his glory. To see the stars unnumbered. To know that he is the one that has put them there. He does what he does, that he might be honored by his creation. Man and all things gives this to him, gives him his glory. He does what he does so that humanity might be drawn to him in worship. That's why we're here today, drawn by the love of our God, by his glory. He does this also so that his name might be exalted to the highest point that we can do. He alone is glorious. That's why we need to worship our God. After all, he gave us the greatest gift that we can have, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the assurity of one day we're going to be with him. That should bring joy to every one of our hearts. For all times, no matter what happens in our lives, to have that assurance of one day being with our Jesus. Exodus chapter 34. And verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And then Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Yes, he is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with another. When we pray, we need to remember that not does our Father have the authority and the ability to answer our prayers. He also has the promptness to answer them as well. He wants to move in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, and in our world with great glory, with that power. But he alone will only do this when he receives all the glory. He alone determines glory that he has. We know that God's kingdom has the power and the glory and are forever. And it's a great promise that we can rejoice in knowing this. Our God that knows the end from the beginning. And there's no beginning or ending for our God. We can't comprehend that. Also, no ending or no beginning for our Lord Jesus Christ. We take it on faith as we take all of the Word of God. That's what we talk about the last 2 or 3 weeks here in our Sabbath school classes. Faith. He's always will possess the kingdom and have the power and the glory. And it needs to be pointed out that he alone determines who's going to share in his glory. And he's given that promise to each and every one of us to be able to share in his glory if we have the faith and the belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, we can have prayer and rejoice in it because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord's Prayer ends in the word amen. And what does amen remember? A lot of us say it, but do we really understand it? Do we know what amen means? Some of the facts that we have about the word amen. The Bible ends in the word amen. Jesus' first words in John 1:51 was verily, verily. And amen is often translated in the Bible as that, verily, verily. Amen was among the very last words of Jesus' life on the cross. Let's turn to that. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. Luke 23, 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The word amen is found 125 times in the New Testament, and it's found 25 times in the Old Testament. Amen means so be it. Let it be true. I affirm this, and in some places, it means just true. We know that prayer is always about rejoicing. We are to rejoice in his preeminence, the power and the personality of our Heavenly Father. And let's look at our last verse for today, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Yes, to rejoice that all that he is, we are his. And we thank our God. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ for this. Yes, our Heavenly Father, glory be in who can keep you from falling and bring you safe to his glorious presence, innocent and happy. To God, the only God who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, and authority and power which he had before time began, now and forevermore. Oh, Lord God, we thank thee that we are yours through Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the privilege of serving thee, the privilege of having prayer with thee, and our rejoicing because who you are. And you give us the greatest gift of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In his precious name, amen.
Amen.